びかいて、まうまいことをたりなぎてたまとおきょき。
はい。
なあ、ええ、あわとめけけやウィルムいてねやた。あごてあふね、ぽへへやうへ、とくるわがいてはらまいなり、とことるけ、あらたかいくねら。なあ、かいとくたは、こまわたいがいて、あとはいてね、あぷおろね、あなまのとぬ、ティマトマイテネヤタネハアホラニタヤリアブレックモレナキョーラ
モレナモレナエテイウィテナクトタタウカトワイロトイテネランニティノアタハワカノイテメヒキアタタウカトワイロトイテネワネイケテコレロマウオコウィレムギャドクトジョン・プロクターメケイト・エリソンヘko maua ko Dr. Proctor ko mahitahi maua mai te tau 2007 ma ono ki te wharewanana o Manawatū ko te ingoa Māori o te rā wharewanana ko te kunena ki Pūrehu Roa anā koeira tā maua mahi he whakawhitiwhiti kōrero enari ko te tino tohuna o te tangata nei John Proctor me Kate ko te rangahau I nā kaupapa I roto I te pūtai ao te tenei kupu e kia nei volcanology volcanology nā e te iwi most of you will not be surprised that Wiremu and I are using this word volcanology. It's part of our vocabulary. Well, it has been part of my vocabulary since around about 2006-2007 in 2006-2007 around about that time I was translating the abstracts for doctorates that were completed in te reo in English back into the reo Māori, because when our doctorate students Māori doctorate students graduate from Massey University, there is a citation of their abstract. So this guy called Jacob Hakopa sent me a copy of Dr. John Proctor's abstract to translate into the reo Māori. It had all these science terms, volcanology terms, and it had these sort of numbers and sort of, all sorts of new terms that I hadn't even seen in my life. So I sent an email to Jacob Hakopa and says, can you get me this guy John Proctor? I don't know what the hell's going on here, but I'm expected to translate it in the reo Māori. This is a new field. It's a new discipline, it's a new knowledge, it's new knowledge for Māori. It's a new scholarship. And that was the exciting thing about it, John. It was a new knowledge, experience and scholarship. And I sort of thought a little bit ahead at the time, and I thought, right, I wonder how our audience will, Māori e reo audience will receive this. Well, it did. They received it well when it was written in te reo. And John sent me sort of a more abbreviated, clearer. So we're being clearer passage of this abstract. And so this morning we've got John Proctor and Kate Harrison. Kate's been there with us as well. Big part of this, because you need the manager, the executive manager and the administrator to keep the researchers on task and to remind us the compliance requirements. So I'm really, really grateful to both of you and Wiremu and I and our people here. Awanui Arani has a responsibility for this thing called Mātauranga Māori, but it also has a responsibility to bring experts. And if Awanui Arani want to walk into the area of what knowledge and science and volcanology is, well, we really have to align ourselves and collaborate with experts. And so I really, from our radio station, from our wānana, thank you so much for coming here today. And we've really turned on the weather for you. John, this thing called resilience. Tell us about it. What's happening here?
Yeah, so resilience is a new sort of initiative from really the government has forced us to look at this idea of resilience, and this comes from the fact that as scientists, we've spent probably 30 to 50 years understanding all the natural hazards in New Zealand. And as scientists, we have a pretty good understanding of all the earthquakes and volcanoes and all past eruptions and events. But all that knowledge was not being transferred well to the public. You know, people weren't aware of how hazardous their environment is and the dangers around them and how often their volcanoes erupt or how often earthquakes happen. And so the government said, well, let's make a change, and rather than focus on science around hazards or natural hazards, let's see how we can transfer that knowledge to the people and allow them to take some responsibility for their actions in terms of facing some of these events.
And it's a beautiful word, eh? Resilience. And if I was to look at an equivalent ki roto I te reo Māori about resilience, kia mau ko wira mune ko te kupu nei ko te resilience e hāngai tonu ki te whakaora, ki te whakatipu, ki te manaaki, ki te whakapakari I a tātou. If I was to look at the just the term resilience, I think it has a number of key connotations. There's an enlightenment about it. There's a kaitiaki. We have a responsibility as students of our environment to look at our environment. It has its own identity. The term resilience can be applied to identity, but it also has a sound and a soul, because what it does, it reminds us that we have to be resilient to continue to bring some momentum to those art, science, culture themes, literature themes, and they've got to be here for the next millennium. I mean, millennium thinking is all about developing our knowledge now so it can easily transfer into the new millennium. So yeah, it's brilliant. And you've been, Kate, you've been one of the key sort of discussions around the resilience sort of ideas and proposals.
I was certainly involved in when they were writing the application, preparing the application. Yeah, I've been quite heavily involved through Māori and through Massey University working with John.
And I think the part that you play, because you can sort of come back and look at sort of the broader perspective of the whole resilience part, and sort of bring that type of acumen, sharpness to it. And remind us of all the compliance. But resilience is here.
Yep.
It's here to stay, and we've got to keep building it. And John, we've got this Resilience National Science Challenge program. Do you want to take us through that?
Yeah, so like you said earlier, you know, about 10 years ago, we started exploring this ideas around mātauranga and hazards. And
yes.
And we, you know, started off with some work with an iwi at the southern end of Ruapehu, Ngāti Rangi.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was really about sharing knowledge. So it was about sharing their knowledge and our knowledge and seeing what solutions we could come up with to sort of make people more resilient or make communities more resilient.
Mm.
And like you say, you know, the term resilience was sort of echoed with them a little bit because it was about the people and the land and those sort of aspects rather than sort of scientists coming in and saying, this is what you're going to do, what happens.
Okay.
And so from that, you know, it sort of grew and we became sort of one of the sort of forerunners in terms of this whole national science challenge area and the way to make changes. And the way that we transfer knowledge and the way that we take knowledge from the community and incorporate it into some of the solutions that we create. So we're actually one of the largest programs of research within this National Science Challenge. So.
And there's a group of us in there.
Yep.
And I mean, how many of us in there, John?
Oh, there's about 10 or 11 of us spread. Mm. So there's basically people from every university, every Crown Research Institute that's dealing with hazards. And they're all sort of leaders in their field. They're all experts in their field. There's no doubt about that. And they're all going to come up with some pretty cool new solutions.
Yes.
And but the other big thing too is that we're the only program of research which is a total. All the participants are Māori.
Yes.
And so we're the only program that does that. So.
Yes. And I think this is the unique part, Ekoro, all of the people that are involved in this new challenge, kaupapa. This new challenge research thing are all Māori, and that's sort of we're shaping a whare kōrero for Māori, and we are looking at these Māori experts to bring their knowledge, their scholarship, their publications, and the way they develop ideas. I mean, last week we had our noho for our masters and PhD students. Our guest speaker was Darren King. And Darren talked about climatic conditions and how that will affect Māori.
Yeah.
So The audience was captivated by his comments. And then we also have a PhD student, Hauiti Hakopa, connected to Ngāti Tū Wharetoa as part of this resilience. So I think we're moving in the right direction. What do you think, Koro?
I have read some of the documentation, and there are 10 parts to this resilience nature science or national science, and they're all doctors and or professors. You know, you're talking about being experts in their field. The thing about it is that they continue to research, and that's what this is, the scope of it is all about, researching what's happening around our environment. Now, both you, for that matter, I'm talking about you, John and Kate, have finger on the pulse, if you like. I'm not too sure with this fellow here, Tayara here, is the driver of the whiffcracker.
Ty brings some style to the challenge, I suppose.
There you go. So, having said that, I mean, when we look at this particular area here, we have it in our stories. I related a story last Thursday about the swamp, that we need those wetlands to clean up our rubbish here. And two things I noticed. While walking and working in the swamps, either getting watercress, getting eels or something, some food out of it, there were two kinds of oil sitting inside the swamp, and I noticed that they were actually cleaning the water. The middle part of it was clean as we could drink it. Either side was either black oil or red oil, because oil, as I found out, of course, is metal, so is iron. So those are the things we don't have here in this area. How much of a threat is that without the wetlands?
Yeah, it's a huge threat, losing your wetlands. I mean, where I'm from in the Manawatū and Horowhenua, we've lost 95% of our wetlands, and it's destroyed our waterways. We've lost huge numbers, or we've lost species completely out of our environments. So you need the waterways, filter the water that then goes into the lakes and then out to the sea. So yeah, it's hugely important to have those ecosystems functioning. And you know, even for us with volcanology, we try and cross over into the environmental science area. I mean, everyone thinks volcanoes are hazards and they just go bang and cause problems, but actually they are an important part of the whole ecosystem in New Zealand. I mean, they are basically our natural fertilizers to our soils. The ash that they produce will fertilize our soils. We have bumper crops after volcanic eruptions around the world and things like that. So
wherever we park up, make our villages and towns, just by chance that we survive any of that.
Yeah. People tend to create their villages and towns on nice productive soils, so they can grow lots of food. But they usually happen to be near a volcano or a wetland or a flooding area or something like that. So you know, we have to be aware of those other things that happen in our environment, not just the good part, the good things, I suppose, but the things that can affect us in negative ways.
My great-great-grandfather, Penitito, lived in Te Wairua in Tarawa at one time there, and he lost two daughters to the explosion June 10th, 1886. Yeah. I am lucky enough that there were two more daughters that followed, and one of those is my great-grandmother, so I'm lucky to be here.
And that is why you are here.
Yeah, Tracy and I, for that matter. Tracy and I come off the same line, so I'm in line with those. So those are stories we have, and then we also have the one that we share with Te Arawa, Ngāi Tūrurangi, Tai, in as much that he called for help, and by way of the volcanoes that come to Whakahari, you had Kui Wai and Haunarua, his two sisters came in from Hawaiki. So we keep track of who we are by way of that type of science.
There's also a fabulous knowledge around describing the landscape as well. I mean, A lot of the iwi that I've worked with around the country, around the volcanoes, they classify the rocks and describe the landscapes exactly the way geologists do as well. And that sort of knowledge for iwi here has developed over 700-800 years, and it's really important that we explore it and share it as well.
Your part, of course, is part of the Mātauranga Māori, and this is why I brought up those. And I'll pass it on to this fellow. He's eager to get into this conversation.
No, you're both touching on some very important points. One is the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the landslides, and the weather and coastal conditions. But the other part that's just sort of surfaced now is the oral history or the oral literature in and around us. Because your part, John and Kate, is really the science part and the Mātauranga part. And, just to hear the point that you made, You know, our people have been around these parts of the lands, and then there's knowledge in there that should be researched as well. The type of soil, the type of rock, the name of the rock, and the conditions. And, you know, I imagine that we would, as part of this research, bring together our compositions, traditional compositions, traditional stories, and research those and interpret them to match them up with the science part. And that's going to be the exciting part as well. I mean, every iwi has their ancestors' journeys. And these journeys sort of describe the landscape and bring the landscape to us. And then so that's the role that we play. And I suppose our role, Weremu, and it's to look at integrating te reo Māori into the production of these exemplary science mātauranga Māori research parts. And then I was really pleased this morning. One of the things I was looking at at Tiwi, I was looking at a Māori science dictionary translated by He Kupena Haui Te Reo, Dr. Ian Christensen. Ian was working with me at Massey at the time. In the next 2 weeks, when I get back from the UK, I'm going to start talking to Ian about some of the terms in there. And we're going to start, as part of the milestones for the resilience, start taking out the Māori translations for particular terms that we're going to be using. So as part of this research, what is really exciting is developing a digitized mapping the landscape research related in te reo as part of the science journey as well. We have this we've got this PhD student as part of our resilience team. His name is Hawiti Hakupa, and his key area is surveying and GIS, and he's also presented papers at the Silicon Valley, and he's here with us. He's part of the resilience team, and we're going to be, as part of his thesis production, he will be compiling the kōrero around Ngāti Tuwharetoa, the live volcanoes. And September the 10th, the Te Wakatoi had a hui in Rotorua, and I spoke to one of Hawiti's uncles, kaumātua called Te Kanawa Pitiroi. And he was the one that says, yes, we need those stories. So engaging with yourselves in the science area, bringing that type of production, knowledge to the surface, and then bringing in te reo and the landscape parts, and then the wetlands, as you talk about. Couple of things that sort of just occurred to me. In the chapter that you wrote wrote for Enhancing Mātauranga Māori and Global Indigenous, that publication's in the Bay of Plenty now. There's copies in the library. There's copies at Opotiki Library. There's copies in the Wharewānan Library. And have you got a copy?
I do have.
Oh, that's
did he make you pay for it?
Have you cleaned the dust off the cover or something? That was a really good, because that's really the opening. I mean, I think I was reading through that chapter this morning, and I think the work that you guys have put in there is starting now to sort of open up this resilience thing.
That was really the forerunner to a lot of this work, and the ideas contained in there sort of formulated our whole research program. And so it's about taking it to the next step, you know. It's like you say, it's looking at sort of Western science knowledge and then traditional Māori knowledge, and coming up with some really cool solutions unique to New Zealand as well. As well as probably, you know, we could actually, you know, create a whole new terminology based on our volcanoes from Te Reo and, you know, start to introduce some other terms worldwide.
That's right.
If you take, for example, some of the terms that we use in volcanology, like lahars. Lahar is an Indonesian word, and that's the way that they describe the flows coming off their volcanoes as well. So, and now it's a standard term that we use worldwide. So.
And just sort of scoping into the future now, we've sort of have a plan to look at another research project. And one of the key areas or the key landscape features we're looking at is Whakaari, White Island, Putawaki, and Tuhua, Mare Island. And so those are three sort of volcanic mountains all around Ngāti Awa, all around Mātātua Waka. And there's been sort of discussions amongst ourselves how we might do this. But you already have a PhD student that wants to have a look at Whakaari.
Yeah, he's actually a sort of a pure scientist and loves programming. He doesn't get out of the office much, so he sits there on his computer. And he's basically a seismologist or a volcano seismologist. So he recorded a whole lot of signals of eruptions in April from the last eruption at Whakaari. And now he's sitting there analysing them, trying to use that data to be able to track the eruption and track the flows that come from it, and seeing if we can create some new techniques to sort of monitor what goes on these volcanoes. And we're actually, he's done some work around Te Māori and the central North Island, and sort of using the seismic network that's out there to track lahars and explosions. And we've just actually been over to Costa Rica and Mexico and Colima, where we've installed some sensors, and we're going to do the same thing on the volcanoes over there.
Tell us about this thing called installing sensors into your book. I mean, you know, for Wiremu and I, you know, I mean, is that bread and butter stuff to you, Wiremu? I don't know what he's talking about.
What's a sensor?
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting. There's that statement that you said, he's sitting in his office and he's monitoring the eruptions that are taking place. How can you monitor when you're sitting 400 or 500
kilometers? Yeah, I mean, we've got to be smart about the way we do things now, and efficient. And basically, it's a common science practice now to go out and collect as much data as you can. And the way to do that is by having sensors out there, electrical sensors that record the environment and what's happening. So we use seismic sensors, which record the amount of shaking and noise, or acoustic sensors, which record the noise that's going on out there as well. You know, it's cheaper than sort of paying for an undergrad student to sit out there all day, and
yes,
safer, actually.
Yes, safer, yes, definitely safer. How about that, eh? How about that type of sort of the analysis of Whakaari happening in Massey University, and then the data that's been compiled there could very well be useful for the iwi?
It would be. I'm thinking about the two programs that we've been watching. On Sundays, Big Blue Backyard, and one of them was Rangi Tāhua, the Kermit Garland, and just recently, the Sunday just gone with Whakaari, they're underneath, but they were showing the fact that both of these areas sit on the fault line that we sit on all the way here. So how important is that for us for research?
Oh, it's really important. This area is really important for research. Actually, there's not been much research done in this area on the volcanics and what we call the tectonics of the area, and there's active research going on now about understanding, is it the volcanoes driving all the earthquakes here, or is it the earthquakes driving the volcanism here? And so sorting out those issues as a priority for us to increase our knowledge.
Now, we've known now that Auraki, or Aurani to us at this end, Mount Cook, has lost the top of its peak at one time or another. It shortened it down somewhat. Now, here in Te Uruwera, over the years, I've done quite a bit of hunting, and walking through that area, there's been earthquake and obviously some huge rain come down, because one whole ridge actually disappeared from within Te Uruwera, which is ongoing, I believe, but not so much every year, but certainly over time that it takes place, changes the landscape.
Well, New Zealand's really active. We sit on what's called a plate boundary between the Pacific Plate and the Indo-Australian Plate. It's moving really fast. It's hitting up against each other. We have huge rainfall in New Zealand, so we're actually in a real active sort of environment, more than most other places in the world. And I don't think we really appreciate how active our landscape is and how quickly it moves and changes.
And I think we should also be moving to work alongside all this information that's coming, in terms of the developing sort of whānau, hapū and iwi sort of research methodologies around these things. So this is the part that you and I play, and this is the part I've got to play to listen into the comments and and take on some of these sort of key messages, key scientific messages, key terminologies that are coming. Iwi, what we are planning to do, we're planning to host a two-day symposium February, March next year. And with the 10 Māori scientists and social scientists. And we're going to host this at Awanuiarani. And a lot of the insight that John's been talking about, and a lot of the, you're going to have 10 of these Māori scientists developing and bringing their sort of expertise into this area. we're going to put out a public invitation to everyone, and I think it'll be so valuable. And then we're going to also look at some of the schools as well, and then hopefully by then we'll have someone like myself to present ourselves on Māori oral literature that's connected to volcanology. Kate, you're sitting there and you're hearing all this information, and from your perspective as sort of the manager of keeping the process alive, how do you see this?
The symposium or in general the program in general, do you mean? Or?
Your role to sort of connect up with all of the researchers, the main person here, John Proctor,
yep,
and sort of scope how it might be worded in developing report backs.
Part of my role is making sure that the program's, as you say, complying with everything. There's a number of reporting requirements to make sure that the good work that the researchers are doing in the different organisations together is reported back, and so people can say this is what this money is getting. This is what this money is getting everybody.
And that's a good point, reporting back, because that's what we've got to do, right? We've got to report back to the iwi, because Wenamu and I, we could be walking onto the marae for a hui tomorrow, and then it says, hey, where's that resilience kaupapa going, and how's it going? And so that type of reminder, and this interview session this morning is so valuable for doing that.
Well, I think we have to give back and create some solutions that people can use, everyone along the coast here.
And that's the key message, solutions. Eh? And how can we, but with a solution, we give it a mātauranga Māori reo solution to bring on our whānau, hapu and iwi aspirations to this. And you know, this morning I was talking to Tamiiti, and I was talking to him about this type of program, and he said to me, hey Tai, I'd like to be involved in part of that, because you know, this is the sort of vocabulary that we need to integrate into our marae. I mean, you see, our resilience team researchers, they're all developing the new popo, and at iwi we're looking at developing our methodology around a whare for this resilience team research. And then the concept that we have in our discussions is that every scientist or social scientist in this resilience program, they are compiling new knowledge, expert knowledge, and evidence-based knowledge. In other words, if we look at our tipuna whare, we already have our popo there of all of our tipuna. And each of us is developing the new popo to sit alongside the existing popo. And we've got to do that. It can't be just part of the oral history that sort of just links it to the whare. It's got to sort of move with the times. And so having this type of resilience, kaupapa, is really good. Yesterday we were looking at some of your footage.
Yep.
And there was the laha coming. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, my expertise is in volcanology and lahars mainly, or flows that come from volcanoes, the big destructive flows that wipe out towns and cities. And some of the work that I do is using computer models or computer simulations to simulate what would happen when volcanoes erupt and what gets destroyed. And so we've used that quite heavily in New Zealand and around the world, actually. We're sort of a part of a team of international researchers which respond to different eruptions and provide simulations and try and predict what's going to happen. And in 2012, with Tongariro, we actually sort of did a pretty good job at sort of predicting what would happen in that eruption as well, and predicting some of the flows that came down there. So, but you know, one of the things that we want to do as part of this resilience challenge is actually sort of build the capacity within the Wainanga to actually do this sort of research and use these technologies themselves, so, and become leaders in the field, in this field. I mean, you guys are sitting right here with all the volcanoes around you, so that capability should sit here.
And the key to that is prediction.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the key to that is sort of sitting down with a team of experts from the Wainanga, from the whānau, hapu, iwi, and people such as yourselves, and then we can sort of develop a methodology around how we can sort of keep in touch with all these movements and what's happening to our natural environment. And so prediction becomes something that is part and parcel yep. of research. I mean, if we are not in this area of predicting, I think we're going to be at a huge loss of what our purpose here as a whare wānanga, our role in the whare wānanga. Well, you know, I'll say this, we all have to be prophets. someone said to me the other day, says, hey, Tai, you know, some of these future plans that you're putting in whare wānanga, are you a prophet? And I says, I think like one. I like the concept of a prophet, but unlike Rua, I've only got one wife, not 12. So if you're asking me if I was a prophet, well, I won't go public on that yet.
Ana te tahi tahau te Pākehā, kia tahi kia kotahi noi te wahine, e nari no tātou te iwi Māori a inā ke te rahi. Te rahi, nari koe tēnā te āhuatana. Nā, the outcomes for this, we are looking at this particular area, volcanic movements, whatever. What about the other sections that you guys are involved? I mean, you the driver, yes? Atai of this?
What we want to do, I mean, we're starting with volcanology. We're starting with Mātauranga Māori. But you've already talked about wetlands. Yeah. John has talked about other sort of features of our landscape that we can also address. And so what we're trying to do here by bringing this type of expertise into the wānanga, into our Manuka Tūtai area, is to start growing that type of conversation within the wānanga. It's a conversation that's not happening. And in July, I think in June or July of this year, Hirini Mokomid at the big staff meeting at the wānanga says, I want this whare wānanga to consider things like science, technology, engineering, maths. Those are the key areas. And so, because people like Hirini are talking to the Minister of Minister Joyce, and Mr. Joyce is saying, well, hey, wānanga, time for you people to look at these particular elements of what science is all about. So this is the reason why we're here. We're starting to move in this area. So we already have resilience. Mm-hmm. That's going to be ongoing in the 10 scientists. We've had guest speakers starting to grow the conversation within the wānanga. We've got this radio program today, just sort of taking it out. And then last night at my place when we were having a kai, John was talking about bringing his PhD student to look at some of the work and some of the eruptions that are happening at White Island. Mm. So these conversations are starting to happen. And so what I'm hoping it will do will lead us into look at putting together a wānanga bid for 2017-2020. I mean, this is a wānanga bid. The bid that we have now is a collaborative one. But John and Kate are here to sort of support our bid towards a Awanuiarani bid. And then potentially we could be looking at those three volcanic mountains because that'll be a good start. We've already got a working relationship going, and we already have a team of people that can bring. So those are the key areas, I think, that we want to do. With the new bid, with the idea of the new bid, I think it's pretty exciting looking at that, because for Ngāti Awa, for Mātātua Waka, we've got those three mana: Butawaki, Whakaari, and Tuhua. And so, yeah, I imagine in 3 years' time, we will have compiled a lot of information, both in the science area, the Mātauranga area, and the oral literature of the iwi.
Well, hopefully it goes longer than 3 years, you know. We set something in motion that is actually a long-term sort of plan and vision of increasing science, technology, engineering, and maths in this area around natural hazards or whatever direction that we want to go.
So the government is also part of this. I mean, obviously they're funding it. Are they not?
We don't know yet, so hopefully.
Not for the new bit. We're just in conversations and planning. That's why Kate and John are here. Yesterday we had a meeting with our staff at Awanuiarani in the School of Graduate Studies. Professor Tikangi Kingi, Professor Nathan Matthews was there. So we are now exploring with the possibility, but the potential is there. I mean, we already have the resilience, but the potential is to create a new one on a platform in and around the Maitauranga Māori and science research.
So young Māori people taking on any one of these science papers will now bring their stories along and put it to applied science.
Yep.
And you're the man to make it happen.
I'm there to support, so I'm there to guide. So Ty's the man who's going to make it happen.
What we're doing, what I think we're doing, we're bringing this new conversation. Every community, every study, every research needs new narratives. And I think what we're doing is bringing this new conversation to our communities. And I think that's a really good start, because as we travel around in our area, and as whānau and hapū and iwi drive past Awanwiarani, they could potentially look at Awanwiarani now because, yeah, I heard this conversation and they are looking at this now. And that's how we attract our people to education. We are developing educational models here to bring on potentially the new Māori scientists from Matatua.
Mm-hmm. I'm always excited when this guy turns up into the studio, the type of information we
prophet.
Glean. And the likes of you yourselves, you bring a new perspective to listening to what's going on, albeit in English, but I enjoy this guy because he comes with the Māori concept as well, which is ideal. Now, there is another thing that we do, and I don't think we realise it now. Our children, our mokopuna, when we travel around, we actually teach them a bit of science in a way, because we teach them the high points or the landmarks on where they're going to, where they come from. And I know I do that quite often, so we use things like Pūtauaki.
Yep.
I remember one time my mokopuna was at home and phoned her and told her I was on my way home. And all I said to her, I'm coming past Pūtauaki. She lived in Waimana at the time. And I heard her scream at the other, Chioroma, and she screamed at the other end. So her papa was on his way home.
Yeah.
So those are the things they know. So when we get out there, our children know whakaari, they know Motohora, they know Pūtauaki, they know Tarawere and all those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And I think if we keep teaching our children part of those, that they will hold dearly the landmarks of their ancestors and themselves.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Transferring knowledge is important process of any research pathway, but I think what we also want to do is foster a sort of environment where we're actually creating new knowledge, or allowing to develop a platform where new knowledge can be created and shared and then passed on as well. So,
and that's how we developed our relationship with Hauiti. In the publication, Enhancing Mātauranga Māori, my chapter was on Te Koko Ki Ōhiwa, The Surge of Ōhiwa. And this guy, Hauiti, read it somewhere and he picked it up. He jumped on a flight from Otago and drove up here and he walked into my office, rang me up and says to me, I want to come and see you. He bought this book and opened it up and he says, is this your chapter that you wrote on Ōhiwa Harbour? And I says, yes. And I was sort of going, is there something wrong with it? And he goes, I have a doctorate in surveying and GIS from Otago University. I want to develop this into a Google Earth mapping the landscape. And I says, it's yours. Let's find the money to do this. Now that he's enrolled as part of his PhD program, he's going to devote 2 or 3 chapters to developing that concept into a Google Earth, mapping the landscape. And in his perspective, when it's done, we're going to have this Google Earth mapping the landscape in English and in Te Reo Māori. And there it is. It's a pātere.
Mm-hmm.
A Māori scientist picked it up, a surveyor picked it up and says, so that was the catalyst, really. He hasn't stopped coming back. I think soon he'll be asking for a job here. What do you think? What am I doing?
You keep pulling in people like these scientists and whatever. I'm sure that you can make up quite a few job situations. Yes.
Yes. Well, now that you're talking like that, would you too like a job to come here? Well, we need you.
Chucking a boat tie and I'll be here.
Yeah. No, we'll look at a boat as well. I think one of those cousins have got a boat. Hey, look, I'm just looking at the time. This has been a brilliant session with both of you this morning, and the opportunity to talk to experts, for this thing called natural hazards, earthquakes, volcanoes, landslides, tsunami, and weather and coastal, how we might predict to look after the environment and what sort of technology we can bring to it. John, you got any sort of concluding comments there?
No, thanks for the time. It's been great chatting.
Kate?
I don't have anything to add. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to being involved in the program.
E te iwi, kua kōrero o tātou rangatira i o rāua whakaaro. Kei te miharo tonu māua ko Wiramu i a rāua kōrero me nā whakamārama. Ko te mahi nā e nei he whakatipu haere i te kaupapa o te pūtaiao, science, mātauranga Māori, ki Awanui Arani, hei kōrero mā tātou katoa. Nō reira e te iwi, noho pai mai ki o koutou kāinga, I ngā pirangi koutou ki te kōrero pūtai au, haramai ki a māua ko Wiramu. Thank you very much, everyone, and thank you today for your conversation today. Kia ora tātou katoa.
Cool.